I've been asked to prepare a talk to address the children, young men, from the ISKCON Salem Gurukul for the occasion of their having completed the Bhakti Shastra course. Notice I call it Bhakti Shastra course. Not Bhakti Shastri. A person becomes a Bhakti Shastri by studying Bhakti Shastra. Here's the talk. The whole Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhum course, all of it, the whole Gurukul project should be aimed at training people so that they can properly answer one question. And you may wonder what the question is. Well, there could be several questions postulated, if we want to put it in this way, that the aim of the course, or the aim of the whole Gurukul, the aim of Vaishnava education, is to train people to answer one question. So what is that question? The question is, what do you want? And you might think, well, that's a bit strange. I didn't think of that. What do you want? But the answer, after going through so much study and training, one should be able to answer, I only want to do that which is pleasing to my spiritual superiors, and thus, ultimately, to Krishna. This desire that I only want what my superiors want of me, and ultimate superior is Krishna, this desire is the import of the Mangalacharan prayer, Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. As part of the Gurukul training, and certainly part of the Bhakti Shastra course, learning verses is an integral part. This definitely will be one of them. They learn Sanskrit also, so they don't need it translated, but for those of us who do, the translation goes like this, that I, Vandeham, I, seeing myself as a discrete living being, not that I desire to become on the level of my superiors, I place myself eternally below them. So I offer my respects to my superiors, my guru and my gurus, to the lotus feet, offer at the feet of my guru and gurus. There may be one mantra guru. There may be many shiksha gurus. We offer respect to them. And then to our superior gurus in the disciplic succession, superior in the sense, they're all superior to us, but in the sense that they are senior to our own gurus. Guru means the best disciple. So we offer respects to Rupa Sagrajatam, along with his elder brother, Sanatan, along with the other six Goswamis, and include it's Vaishnavangscha, All the Vaishnavas are our gurus, and some in particular are mentioned, some because it's a short prayer, then by name they're not all mentioned. Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam. So there we have five of the six Goswamis mentioned, if we take Raghunath to include the two Raghunaths. Not that Gopal Bhatta is by any means excluded. Then Sadvaitam Savadhutam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, beginning with Advaita and Avadhut, which means Nityananda, and ultimately to Radha Krishna, along with their associates, beginning with Lalita and Vishakha. So this is our prayer, that we offer ourselves. We're studying all this in the spirit of service. All that we study is in the spirit of service to our guru and gurus, all the way up to Krishna. And the intention is that we simply want to place ourselves as their servant. We have no other desire but to act in a manner that will be pleasing to them. Now, it is possible to, you may say, oh, that's what I got to learn in Bhakti Shastra. Okay, I don't need to study all that. Or even if I do, so if they ask me, okay, I memorize that also. I memorize so many things. What is verse 13 of chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita? I memorized it. Okay, I can repeat it. So if I'm asked, what do you want? I'll know the answer to give. But it's not a matter of reciting it parrot-like. In the Bhakti Shastra course, we learn so many things, but really it's for internal absorption, which leads to realization. It may not be necessary to do a Bhakti Shastra course to imbibe this. It may be that simply by the regular process of devotional service, anyway, it begins with shravanam, hearing, and hearing means hearing from scripture, from devotees, that we can get this point and become fully advanced. Bhakti Shastra course is not necessary to become a pure devotee of Krishna. So then what's the point of studying this Bhakti Shastra course? Ultimately, it's a matter of attitude, not of study and learning. Srila Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. But studying this is also helpful for us to get our mind in order, as it's out of order, so that we can understand why we are doing what we're doing and understand it in more depth. And we also need, for the furtherance of the Krishna conscious movement, devotees who are learned in the precepts of the guru, sadhu, and shastra. We need learned preachers and teachers, so it's not seen as just another sentimental or dogmatic religion. So having said that, I will read from something I came across in a spiral-bound book about the Bhakti Shastra course, which was published some years ago by, I believe it was the Mayapur Institute of Higher Education, one of the institutes within ISKCON that administers Bhakti Shastra courses, which they call Bhakti Shastri course. So I'll read. There are 12 aims and objectives which they have identified, and I'll speak on these and give some commentary also. Number one, to help students memorize and recall the knowledge that forms the foundation of their progress in Krishna consciousness. And that is the palpable visible substance of what the Bhakti Shastra course offers and what one is to apply oneself to do. It's well, I say the substance, when the English word would be the meat of it, but that, I don't know how to use that word so much, even if it's not used in the sense of mangsa, the flesh. Yeah, that's what the course consists of. That's what one signs up for. To memorize and recall the knowledge that forms the foundation of their progress in Krishna consciousness. And it should be mentioned here that this knowledge, in the very beginning, should be understood, this knowledge is the knowledge, particularly in Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada wanted these courses, Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Sarvabhauma to be on the basis of his books. So to help memorize it and recall it, which are closely interrelated. Number two, to deepen students' understanding of the theology of Krishna consciousness, particularly through studying it from a wide range of perspectives and through developing thoughtfulness and introspection. Theology of Krishna consciousness, usually Srila Prabhupada spoke about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which can also be termed the theology of Krishna consciousness, and to deepen their understanding. So it's supposed that before starting the course, they have some understanding and of the theology of Krishna consciousness, and there should be some understanding. Otherwise, why would someone volunteer to become part of this course anyway? It's presumed that at least there is an axiomatic acceptance of the basics, that we're not the body. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna reveals himself through scripture. It's expected that the students will have some understanding. And it's expected that they'll have quite a good understanding, because otherwise, why would they want to enroll themselves in the course in the first place? In other words, they are of studious nature and have already studied Srila Prabhupada's books to some extent. Studying it from a wide range of perspectives. I'm just wondering what all that wide... There's not that much scope in the Bhakti Shastra course for study from a wide range of perspectives. Srila Prabhupada did say that we should examine the philosophy from different angles of vision. But in the Bhakti Shastra course, as I've seen, I never took a course, actually. I did take an exam once without taking the course many years ago. But what I see, there's a lot of work in just studying the basic material and getting to understand it. And there is some getting to absorb it, because there's a lot in Srila Prabhupada's books. There's a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. There's a lot to be absorbed. It's even though the Bhakti Shastra course only covers what we might call the introductory books, there's still a lot of material to go through. So I've seen in the courses there is some discussion between the teachers and the students, and the teachers try to provoke the students' intelligence to understand what is being taught. But there isn't that much scope for deep analysis and trying to understand it from many perspectives. That may come later when one has got the foundation in place. That means after the course, then one may go on to study it in more depth from different angles of vision. Because during the course itself, there's a lot of work and a lot to be absorbed. And that's the main thing to be tackled by the teachers and the students to get through the course. And if you try to study it from many angles of vision during the course, then you could get stuck there. You have to go through on with the course. There's a time limit for it also. Thoughtfulness and introspection, yeah, to some extent, like I say, the devotee, there's some interaction between the students and the teachers. The teachers are supposed to question the students in such a way that they actually think about what they're studying. But the developing thoughtfulness and introspection, that's, I'll speak about that more later. That's more part of a lifetime project. To help students apply Krishna consciousness in their external practices and their inner development, and to help them develop Vaishnava qualities and behavior. Now, this is very important. It's all very important. That one applies the teachings in one's external practices. In other words, one understands why one is doing what he is doing, which gives him more faith and you get more in what we're doing, and we get more out of what we're doing. We do it with more enthusiasm if we understand why. And developing Vaishnava qualities and behavior, it should come that by hearing about the, just like for instance, we're going to study Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. If we can develop these kind of qualities in our behavior, then that's a great advancement, isn't it? We read in the early part of Bhagavad Gita the qualities of the Stithadhi Muni, who is withdrawn from sense gratification. In the 12th chapter, we hear about the qualities of a devotee which endear him to Krishna. So by learning about this, we can, that helps us to develop Vaishnava qualities and behavior, which is really the point. We're talking about becoming devotees. It's not just academic study. We shouldn't approach the Bhakti Shastra course with, now you may say, well, the boy's already graduating, so you should be congratulating them. Okay, all right, but there are others who are going to be taking it, and in future, and the boys who are graduating by hearing this, that may help them to, by hearing the points that I'm talking about now, it may help them to become, to get more out of what they've just studied. So the real point is to be devotees. Now, previously, when I was asked, whenever I was asked, what is the aim of our Gurukul, I had said that, well, definitely want them to be devotees. And at least they can come out, at the very least they can come out with Nama Ruchi, a taste for chanting the holy names. And I've seen that the boys who have graduated from our Gurukuls, they do have a taste for chanting the holy names. I've seen that. They like to do kirtan. Even they may go outside and work in secular life, but they like to come to the temple and they like to do kirtan. So that's very good. But really, I want to take it more than that. Nam Ruchi, okay, that's the minimum. But what we're really aiming at in teaching, and this is not just the Bhakti Shastra course, but the whole Gurukul education, we want that to instill in the boys, and they have to imbibe it, the spirit of dasanudasa bhava, the feeling that guides one's whole life, that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, which is the same as what I started this talk by saying, what do you want? I only want to do that which is pleasing to my spiritual superiors. This spirit is very much needed. And I'm particularly thinking of this because I'm thinking of some boys who, not very many, just a handful, if you can put boys into your hand, who have graduated from the Gurukul, or at least come out of the Gurukul, and very good in kirtan, like to do kirtan, they can sing well, they know the songs, can play the mridanga very well, but the dasa-nudasa bhav is not prominent. And then we think, well, what do they get out of so many years? Is it our fault? Yeah, we should see like that. But at the same time, some boys who are studying with them at the same time, they're doing very well. So a lot depends on the individual also. The fact that they like to do kirtan, well, that's good for them. But we have to see, is it more a musical attraction, or is it very much mixed up with musical attraction? Pardon my critical spirit, but I can't help noting that it's, at least to my vision, it seems that some of the very popular kirtaniyas in contemporary ISKCON, it seems to be a lot of musical stuff. It's not saying they don't have a taste for the holy name, but it's very much mixed up with the music and maybe a touch of name and fame and all this kind of thing. We really have to see if someone has nama ruchi, a taste for the holy names, by seeing what they do when they're not chanting. Do they like to rise early for sadhana? Do they like to study Srila Prabhupada's books? Do they have a humble service spirit? So dasa nudasa bhav, that's what we want to see in devotees coming out of this Gurukul. And that is the ultimate fruit of study, not actually to become a great scholar. If you can become a great scholar, very good. That's also useful in Krishna's service. But the real thing is to imbibe the mood of being servant of the Vaishnavas. Number four, to enhance the student's desire and ability to preach effectively. Yeah, these points are very good, because actually after studying Bhakti Shastra, then one should want, the natural result of that is that one should want to share it with others, with devotees, non-devotees. Srila Prabhupada's books are written in such a way, it's urging people to be Krishna conscious. It's not written in what we might call an academic style. It's not a dispassionate analysis of the verses. It's very passionate in the sense that in every word Srila Prabhupada is urging us to surrender to Krishna. That mood is very prominent throughout. Srila Prabhupada's books are meant for preaching. They are preaching. He's preaching to the whole world, preaching to us, and preacher means one who conveys this knowledge. One way or the other, but especially preaching here, we're talking about preaching in the sense of speaking. There are many, many speakers nowadays coming out of ISKCON, but we have to see, are they speaking what is in Prabhupada's books? Preach effectively. What does that mean, preach effectively? Does it mean having many likes, having many followers? Or does it mean being able to effect, be an instrument in effecting a change of heart in others so that they also imbibe the mood of das anudas? Without that, then what is our preaching? Gathering followers, becoming popular. That's not preaching. Not, at least it's not preaching what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to preach, or what Lord Chaitanya wants us to preach. Number five, to create learned Vaishnava theologians who are expert in assisting society through application of Shastric knowledge to a wide range of personal, social, moral, topical, and theological issues. Now, I'm going to skip number six and come back to that, because I'm going to club five and seven together. To cultivate within devotees a wholehearted acceptance of the spiritual authority of Srila Prabhupada and Shastra, a mood of inquiry and a desire to understand and realize the import of Vedic knowledge. So these two things go together. With a wholehearted acceptance of the spiritual authority of Srila Prabhupada and Shastra, and desire to understand, then one can actually be the kind of brahmana referred to here as learned Vaishnava theologians. Srila Prabhupada wanted brahmanas who are competent to give advice to society in all aspects of life. Especially, it's written here, personal, social, moral, topical, and theological issues. Brahmanas can also administer to society as doctors, as military teachers, Drona, in all areas. Brahmanas teach many areas, not all areas. If someone wants to be, well, it's not a matter of wanting to be. Generally, if someone is born the son of a blacksmith, then his father will teach him the craft of being a blacksmith. But for matters which are more complex, then one has to go to a brahmana. But the Vaishnava brahmanas who Srila Prabhupada wanted to, particularly wanted to produce, would be competent to give, to assist society in a wide range of personal, social, moral, topical, and theological issues, which means to have a wholehearted acceptance of the spiritual authority of Srila Prabhupada and Shastra. This knowledge, one can learn the study Bhakti Shastra and get one's certificate, pass, but the real pass will be seen in the behavior of the devotee, in the realization. Realization is not necessarily synonymous with having a certificate. Realization comes, yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru, tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahamana. Those who have firm faith in the Supreme Lord and in the Guru who reveals this knowledge. To such a person, Krishna reveals within their heart all the imports of Shastra. So this is what we are aiming at. What we're talking about is ultimately those who are now disciples. They have to become students, they have to become gurus and teachers, becoming the next link in the disciplic chain. That is possible not simply by being formally initiated as a disciple, but one has to understand, realize, and embody the Siddhanta, the proper understandings, which comes from yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyata prakashante mahatmana. So in what we're looking at in training devotees is that they will continue the Vaishnava parampara, maintaining the message as it is. Simply to gather followers by becoming a popular preacher is not synonymous with becoming a strong, a proper link in the parampara. In fact, if one does become a popular preacher, taking some things from Srila Prabhupada, mixing it up with one's own speculation, then far from becoming an actual link in the parampara, one actually becomes a disturbance in the whole process of parampara. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhin Vina, Aikanta ki hare bhakti utpatayaiva kalpate. If one's teachings are not properly in line with those of scripture, then one's so-called contribution to Vaishnava society is actually a disturbance to it. This is the conclusion of Shastra. So I'll go back to number six. To help build and maintain students' faith and conviction in the process of Krishna consciousness and in the Shastra as its foundation. Yeah, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and going into them in more depth. We don't know how much depth there is. It's an unfathomable ocean. But the deeper we go, the more faith and conviction we have. One may have full faith, and it may be strengthened more, because Krishna consciousness is unlimited. Number six, to help students develop analytic, interpretive, and evaluative skills, particularly in the practical application of Shastric knowledge. Be a little careful here. That doesn't mean that one applies one's own imagination to understanding this. Srila Prabhupada, he differentiated between mental speculation, in which one brings ideas outside of the parampara understanding and in this way tries to understand Shastra and apply it. And Srila Prabhupada differentiated between that mental speculation and philosophical speculation. In other words, Srila Prabhupada described that one doesn't question what Krishna says or what Shastra says, but one tries to, by philosophical speculation, one tries to understand how it is correct. Not that one, for instance, incorporates mundane psychology or any mundane ideas into the pure understanding of Krishna consciousness, which is a strong tendency because we tend to think in terms of the way we've been raised in this lifetime or the broader society around us. But that's why we're studying Bhakti Shastra, to get the clear light of knowledge, the clear light of spiritual knowledge, which is different from that which is presented by contemporary society or materialistic society or non-devotee society at any point in the course of history. It is a different perspective. We have to accept that as reality, because all around us, whichever culture, whichever time, whichever milieu we're living in, the prominent worldview that people subscribe to, they think that is the way to see reality, whatever their worldview is. And it seems very convincing to them. But we have to understand that they're all in illusion, and we have to understand through the eye of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Number nine. To help students understand and appreciate the mood of mission and Srila Prabhupada, and to perpetuate that understanding within the ISKCON society. Excellent, at least in theory. I would like to see students coming out of the Bhakti Shastra course. With a clear understanding that Srila Prabhupada wanted to institute Varnashram culture within human society, beginning within the ISKCON society, because This is a why am I mentioning this? Because it's a major part of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which somehow or other is not much known or appreciated nowadays within ISKCON, even though it's there within Srila Prabhupada's books, which is supposed to be what we're supposed to be learning from. And even though Srila Prabhupada said it's not within his books, but 50% of my work remains to be done. Coming out of the Bhakti Shastra course, one should know what are Srila Prabhupada's desires as expressed by himself. He made it very clear. So that they should know. And the importance of distributing his books and so many things Srila Prabhupada gave us. Number 10, to ensure that students develop moral and academic integrity in the interpretation, evaluation, and application of Shastric knowledge. To ensure, well, that's a difficult thing. You can't force it, but we can do our best. Moral and academic integrity. Academic integrity, what does that mean? That should mean that one follows the system of understanding given within our own Vedic culture. Not that we adopt the academic integrity of academia, contemporary academia. Moral integrity. Yeah, that means, for instance, that we don't... This is maybe a bit much for the Bhakti Shastra course, which is just the beginning course. But one doesn't, for instance, when discussing a topic, take only the quotes that Srila Prabhupada gave that appear to support one's position while obfuscating or just not presenting at all the quotes regarding another side of the picture. For instance, one may present quotes from Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya was not interested in Varnashram Dharma, which are there in Srila Prabhupada's books. But then again, there are so many quotes in which Srila Prabhupada says, for instance, that one of the aims of this Krishna consciousness movement is to establish Varnashram Dharma. And then it may seem contradictory, so we have to understand that, and then we have to see what's the overall picture, and Srila Prabhupada explained it, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't interested in that. He was just giving prema, but we have to, as servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, preachers in his movement, we have to make a condition favorable for people to take to and stay in Krishna consciousness. It was very strongly, very clearly a desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our own Srila Prabhupada to establish this. So moral integrity in the interpretation, evaluation, and application of Shastric knowledge. This is very important. Should I say it? Unfortunately, we don't always see it in our Vaishnava society at the present time. And even in the Bhakti Shastra course, as it's taught widely, many of the topics, well, not many, but some of the topics are brushed over. The teachers don't want to discuss it, even if the students ask them about it. Or they may, if the students raise it, discuss it, but then they just say, oh, I know, this is controversial, let's just leave it there. I'm talking about, especially if we go through the Bhagavad Gita as it is, very early in the first chapter, we find a statement where Srila Prabhupada says that women are less intelligent, like children. It's right there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So it can be a controversial point, but the point of the Bhakti Shastra course should give us a clear understanding of what Srila Prabhupada says, not just to say, oh, it's controversial, let's leave it. And then what? Then you're left in doubt. You're left in doubt. What does it mean that Srila Prabhupada, we don't really believe what he says, or it's too subtle for us to understand, or the teachers themselves don't understand, or they don't accept it, and that's why they don't want to discuss it. It just leaves you hanging. These things should be discussed. We shouldn't avoid Siddhanta balaya chitte nakaraha alash eha hoite krishne lage sudhira mano. Srila Prabhupada translates this using the word avoid, which is not actually in the original Bengali, but Srila Prabhupada uses that word to emphasize the point. One should not avoid such conclusions, considering them controversial. For by studying them, one's mind becomes strongly attached to Krishna. Number 11, I'm just going through this briefly because it's going to be about an hour. Much more can be said about all these points. Number 11, to encourage students to take responsibility for their learning and develop healthy study habits by enhancing their desire to study Srila Prabhupada's books and to equip them with the appropriate learning skills. Yeah, the appropriate learning skills are that one should hear regularly with faith. That is the appropriate learning skill. There's no other mundane method. Yeah, you can take notes and this and that, maybe do, what do they call it, mind maps and all this and that. But the real basis is that one should hear regularly and with faith from the proper source. That is the appropriate learning skill. Take responsibility for their learning. Healthy study habits. Healthy study habits means regularly study in a mood of submission. And again, not twisting the philosophy to screw out some meaning. These are again terms that Srila Prabhupada uses. To screw out some meaning which is not in the original text. Number 12, to equip students with the ability to see through the eyes of Shastra. This should have come somewhat earlier in the list. It could be revised. Maybe it's revised by now. This was written a few years ago. To equip students to see through the eyes of Shastra and with a Krishna conscious worldview. It's noticeable that the word a was put, not the Krishna conscious worldview, because there may be different outlooks in Krishna consciousness also. Ultimately, to help students to realize realize scripture and see Krishna at all times and all places. Great. Yes. Ultimately, the study of Gita, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Upanishad, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ved, Vedanta, Purana, Itihas, Pancharatra, Tantra, all this. The ultimate aim is to find Krishna and develop pure love for him. That is the ultimate aim. And, as we'll find in Bhagavatam, Bhakti Pareshanu Bhava, to bhakti means to experience the Supreme Lord, and Viraktir Anyatra, that one should be detached from everything else. One should absorb this spirit of seeing that everything in this world except Krishna consciousness is useless. Nate vidu swarthagating hi vishnum durasha ye bahiratamanina. Understanding that everything, making our goal of life anything but Krishna, is simply going to result in distress, hoping against hope for that which will never be, namely material happiness. So the Bhakti Shastra course, as we find in Shastra itself, very prominently in Bhagavad Gita, throughout Shastra, and that should inculcate in us a deep dispassion for the supposed enjoyments of this world, for this world in general. We live in this world to serve Krishna, but otherwise we're not interested in it. Deep dispassion for the prospects of material enjoyment. One other thing very important is this Bhakti Shastra course. It shouldn't be like modern education in the sense that, well, you pay for a course or you go to a school which is sponsored by the government, and the teachers teach you, and it's all quite formal. Just like after I left school, I never had any contact with any of the teachers anymore in any way. Why should there be? They were doing a job, I was incarcerated, and that was it. I got out and they went on with their life and I went on with my life. But in Krishna consciousness, exchange of spiritual knowledge, it's a deeply spiritual exchange with Krishna in the center. So those who are studying, love and appreciation for their teachers and others who have made it possible for them to study. Gratefulness for what they're doing for me. Made it possible means your parents encourage you to go. Your guru and all the devotees are making, the teachers are teaching, but others are making arrangement with finances and cooking and so many things. It's appreciation for the Vaishnavas. Especially, of course, the teachers, that's natural. There's so much depends on the teachers. It's not, again, it's not just teaching and giving a tick and giving marks, but it's the whole mood that they convey and impart. The teachers, they should be knowledgeable, of course, and capable of teaching, clearing doubts, able to present the matter in an understandable way, patient, just like Krishna was patient with Arjuna to help the students to understand. But along with this, even more so, those are essential, but even they should be advanced devotees who are actually embodiments of what is wanted from the students, what they will become by studying this. The teachers should be of spotless character, ideal examples in Krishna consciousness. Apane achari keho na kare prachar. Prachar kare keho na kare acha. Acha prachar name karahodui karj. Tumi sarva guru, tumi jagate arj. Sanatana Goswami said to Srila Haridas Thakur that some people, they follow Krishna consciousness, all the rules and regulations very nicely, but they don't preach. And others preach, but then if you see their practices, they're not so ideal. But you, Haridas, you both practice and you preach, therefore you are suitable to be the guru of everyone. You are the best person in the world. Overall, the aims and objects they of this course, and of it's meant for the course to be a highly uplifting and transformational experience, and devotees, they're more likely to experience that if, for instance, as is not uncommon or was not uncommon before all this corona era hit us, they'd be, say, working in a 9-to-5 job in somewhere in Europe, for instance, and they come to Mayapur and they do a Bhakti Shastra course, and it can be for them a highly uplifting and transformational experience. It's less likely to be so for those who are Gurukul students, because it's part of the, it's grist for the mill. It's part of what they're doing anyway. It's a part of their whole Gurukul education and experience. So the Bhakti Shastra course for them, it contributes to their ongoing process, their ongoing upliftment in Krishna consciousness. So well done, those of you who have been through with the course, and we'll see in the years upcoming how much you've understood. We won't see exactly in the exam. We'll see actually in the years upcoming. And many thanks to the teachers also to be congratulated, to so many who are making all the arrangements to make it possible. And go on, study more, preach more, become a pure devotee, continue the disciplic succession. Doesn't mean you have to be a huge acharya sitting on a massive seat. Those who teach by practice and precept, they are the actual bearers of the parampara, not necessarily those who are famous and sitting on a big seat. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakang padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta daham bravimi heis sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yatatata va nanumokaro navayang vichara yamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.